Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry? Then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? As always, I'm Dale. He's Soup. It's a Punchless MMA podcast, and we are back after taking a week off. Soup's filling in again. You're here this week. Pound the Line boys are here next week, and then I'm in PA with you the following week, and we haven't decided whether or not we're going to record a preemptive show for that following event or not. But we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
What would the following event be? I obviously know what the October 5th, is it the 5th? Not the 5th, the October 8th event is.
Right. So I'll be recording with the Pound the Line boys for that one. Let me get my schedule pulled up here. So we've got Dern versus Yan takes place this Saturday night. I'll be recording with the Pound the Line boys next week because we don't have anything next weekend. It's the weekend of the 15th is the next event.
It's the Alexa Grasso card.
Right, Arizal. So we'll do a show next week, but it will be for the 15th, the card on the 15th. So if you and I do an episode, it'll be like a filler episode.
Okay. Do you have anybody coming on for the Olives Makhachev?
No, I don't think so.
Yes, you do.
Oh, do I?
Me.
Okay. All right. And then I had to reschedule with a dude. So maybe Cater versus Allen. I'm trying to get Cater on. I'm going to reach out to Cal and see if we can't get him on the show prior to his fight with Arnold Allen. Shouldn't be too big of an ask. I'm not going to say he owes me a favor, but maybe he does. Maybe he does.
Maybe.
Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe go fuck yourself, right?
Dude, I burnt my finger today.
Oh, yeah? Doing what? Flicking the bean?
No, not flicking bean. I had a dinner was in the oven and like it had like a not saran wrap, but like a light film topping that I had to remove.
Okay.
And I popped the corner on that topping and just 400 degrees of steam. Cause I was, I'm too lazy to pull the food out of the oven to take it off. I just reached my hand in the oven and had to take that film off. When I took the film off, I got a steam burn on my index finger. It's pretty shiny. It's starting to crystallize already. It's gonna be a nice big old blister from about the bottom of my nail bed to my knuckle.
What are you cooking? Like a Hungry Jack meal? What was this?
It was like a pre-made lasagna.
Oh, okay.
I got lasagna.
Lasagna. Did you put it in the oven with plastic on it?
Yeah, I know. It's really not. It's probably not good to eat, but.
Yeah, I don't think you should eat stuff that's baked in plastic.
It's just easy for me to take for lunch for the week. Yeah. Because if not, I'm door dashing every day, and that's $25 a day that I'm paying because, I work down in Wexford, Cranberry area.
Down, yeah.
Down there and that.
You work down there.
And it's expensive because it's Chick-fil-A, Moe's, Chipotle.
Oof.
Yeah. All those joints.
I'll tell you what, right? I don't know if this is going to be a hot take or not. I hate Moe's with all my heart.
Dude, Moe's is dog shit.
I hate Moe's. If you ask me right now, like, Dale, you can get rid of one restaurant on earth, all mankind.
Moe's and Burger King.
You can get rid of one. Oh, man, I forgot about Burger King.
Mm. I don't think I've eaten at Burger King in 10 years.
No, you know why I don't eat at Burger King? Because they're one of the ones that are on base. So, yeah. Like, they have the Popeyes and Burger King have the contract to be on base. So, if you go to a base, or at least it used to be anyway, I don't know if they still have that contract. They had a Burger King and Chili's, too. But Chili's has the occasional good.
Yeah.
Get the fajitas or something like that.
Crispy honey chipotle chicken crispers.
I have no idea what any of that is, but it sounds like you do. sounds like you frequent that place quite a bit.
No, it's just the one thing there that I'll eat.
Fair enough. Yeah. So I would probably get rid of Moe's. I would probably get rid of Moe's.
I've had it once in my life.
You've only had Moe's once?
It was terrible.
Confirm, you've only had Moe's once?
I've had Moe's once, and I was like, I'll never eat this again. It was awful.
Yeah, so we're big queso people, so, you know, that's a quick in-and-out queso. But they've got, bro, they're, of all, like, the little go up and, like, order while they make it in front of you places, it's definitely the worst one. And then as far as, like, chain restaurants, it probably is the, it's probably the worst.
Yeah, Chipotle's got this new garlic guajillo steak.
I'm not even sure that. What is that?
It's a like guajillo peppers.
Are you saying that right?
I think so.
Okay.
And garlic, and they marinate the steak in, and it's
good.
It's top notch.
My thing with Chipotle is everything I get is room temperature. Can you go to Chipotle and get hot food?
Yeah.
Because everything I get from there is room temp.
Do you go inside or do you like?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course I go inside. Will you have a drive through Chipotle?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
They put a Chipotle in Butler.
Oh, I can't. Oh, oh man. So those of you who are unaware of what the Butler, Pennsylvania area is like, imagine when you go on a flight and you're all sitting in that area, like gate B12. When you're sitting there waiting to board the plane, that's what Butler is as a town. It's the gate in an airport. I think that's probably the best one. I was going to say it's more like a public pool with housing, but I think we'll go with an airline gate for like Spirit too, not like Delta or like Air Canada or Dubai Air. No. This is like Spirit Airlines gate.
Yeah.
And you give everybody a house and put them together. That's what that's like. And they put a Chipotle in there.
They did. Popeyes is coming.
Dude, unbelievable. You're going to be the New Orleans of the North. It was already close to Detroit with the steel mills closing down and everything else, but you're going to be like, you'll be the New Orleans. Butler's going to go next. It's going to be like Little Cleveland. You guys should just change your name to Little Cleveland.
You know what I'm super excited about? Because I'm big into like full body cleanses.
Anybody that knows you knows you're a big full body cleanse guy.
What are you talking about?
Listen, having diarrhea is not the same as a full body cleanse.
They're putting a Taco Bell in the same parking lot as Dunkin' Donuts.
Bro, so having IBS is not the same.
I can get my cheesy gordita crunch and then swing over for a nice coffee.
Get the jet fuel to get it out of you. Dude, you won't even have time to metabolize the calories.
It's not good.
My gosh. Are you gonna get a Taco Bell that does breakfast? Have you ever had breakfast from Taco Bell?
It's probably one of the most underrated breakfast, like fast food joints.
Very underrated breakfast game. However, if you thought their regular menu would make you shoot oil slick out of you, bro, their breakfast is next level. Anybody who's uninitiated to the Taco Bell breakfast, if you feel like, if you're a big fan of body cleanses, like my brother is, apparently how foolish of me to forget such a thing. If you're into full body cleanses, Taco Bell breakfast will get you right. It'll get you right. No problem.
One more fast food thing. You know what I had for the first time this week?
I mean, shit, sure ain't Moe's because you only had that once. And it's fast food related. Okay.
Kind of. Yeah. Mm. Panda Express.
Panda Express. Yeah. Yeah.
It's never not bad. Had it before. Got their orange chicken.
Oh,
wasn't
yeah.
It wasn't bad.
Sugar.
For quick Chinese food, man.
It's wasn't sugar. Bad. Yeah. That's straight sugar. They literally take orange pixie sticks, put it into a pan, reduce it down into a sauce, pour that over some suspect chicken. Oh,
yeah. I bit into one of the pieces and I was like, this is not the color I was expecting.
This is not what you think it's gonna be.
I continued to eat it.
No, that's a food like all Chinese food, that you have to just sort of resign yourself to maybe about a 75% accuracy rate of it being what you think it is or what it says on the menu. I think I told you this before. I, for lack of a better way to phrase it, my brother-in-law and I went one time, when we first moved down here. Charleston's a big food town. I mean, we do food well here. I was like, I want Vietnamese food. This was when Anthony Bourdain, quote unquote, killed himself, before the Clintons killed.
Okay, rabbit hole number one.
I'm just saying, before the Clintons killed Anthony Bourdain, this was sort of at his peak. So I was like, we're doing the Yelp thing, and I'm like, there's an authentic Vietnamese place. It's not far from here, because nothing's far from here, but it's really far. Even though it's 5 miles away.
Yeah, exactly. Mileage wise, not far, but time wise.
It's very far. Yeah. So we drive. It takes us about 30 minutes to move 5 miles. And I didn't realize it's in North Charleston, which is New Orleans for all intents and purposes. And it's nighttime. Thank the Lord. Cause I had no idea how bad of a part of town we were in. Anyway, we go in and like, it's one of these restaurants where they had no idea why two white dudes walked in there at all. Like me, him, like they didn't expect to even have to like give out menus to anybody. You know what I mean? Like it was like one of those places. Like we got there and we sat down and the waitress like just realized she was going to have to be a waitress that night. You know what I mean? Like it was a place that's only frequented by Vietnamese people speaking Vietnamese to one another. They're not expecting. Bro.
Yeah. My condolences. Holy smokes. I had my phone propped up to watch the Bo Nickel fight, and it just decided it was going to fall.
Yeah, I mean, you should stay focused here. Thoughts and prayers to the headphone users. Or anybody that was listening to this loudly on their commute to work, you just caused a 6-car pileup. Anyway, we went to an authentic Vietnamese restaurant. It was completely disgusting. I ordered pho, which if you've never had pho, it's just a bowl filled with broth and mystery meat. And I didn't realize till after the fact that I was eating intestines in my pho. There was
big,
I thought they were noodles, but it was tripe. It was like big, long pieces of intestine. I thought they were just very chewy noodles. So anyway, I think Bo Nickel in round one, minus 200.
Yeah, I mean, the first four fights have all been finishes. And this fight's getting finished.
I mean, the dude he's fighting is an actual fighter, you know?
Yeah.
It's not a guy they found out at Walmart and offered $100 for to fight him. I mean, he may have his hands full.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Last food thing.
Okay.
I was looking at this. There's a cereal bar in Ohio. Okay. And you pay $25. You spin this wheel five times.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously get five different cereals,
mm-hmm.
and it's 2.5 boxes of cereal. You have 25 minutes to finish it. Do you think you could do it?
No. Do I have to eat it with milk?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm done. You can. I don't care that your dog's walking around in the background. That doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, well, he's reckless.
Well, the thing, I mean, you dropped your phone from great heights onto your keyboard, and now your microphone's louder for whatever reason. And the one thing that makes the Punchless production so good is that this is a podcast for the people by the people. So if you don't like dog callers or kids crying or the occasional vacuum cleaner turning on in the background. This ain't your show. This ain't your show. People that hit me up and like, Dale, your lighting sucks. I don't care.
Dude, Dale, my lighting's awful.
Dale, I can hear a vacuum in the background. I don't care.
It's 10 o'clock at night and I got two kids sleeping upstairs.
Right.
I got limited space to do this.
Yeah. So anyway, you did bump your mic though or something because your peas are popping now. They weren't popping before.
Your peas are popping.
Your peas were popping. So, or maybe you're just projecting more. I don't know. Anyway, all right. We took the week off because there was no events, but here we are now. And we've got a card, admittedly not my favorite, but violence is violence. So we'll talk about some of these. We'll breeze through them. I will say this, a lot of over-under set at 2.5, which I'm really praying to the MMA gods that's not the case, man, because I don't want to sit through 5 hours of this card. There are certain cards I'm willing to sit and watch three round battles. This is not, I don't want to do that for this.
Is this like a 6:30 card start?
Let me look at time. See,
it's an Apex card.
You always have something. It's going to be, it should be.
Yeah.
Because it's a Saturday. There's no major event going on.
They don't
compete with any other Vegas thing going. So we should be, it should be a normal start time. So anyway, all right. First fight on the main card, Mike Davis versus Slava Claus. You're getting Mike Davis at a favorite here, which is not something I anticipated, but you're getting him at a minus 175. Slava Claus or Borishev.
Santa Claus.
Yeah, I like Slava here at plus 150. Over-under on 2.5. You've got, to lead into this, I think Mike Davis is criminally underrated, and he is so good at giving them action-packed fights that he's done himself a disservice so that they feed him killers nonstop. Like, Mike Davis does not get easy fights. They are literally going, oh, dude, you're capable of putting on great fights. Let's give you killers so that you can, you know, make good programming. So they book Mike Davis with programming in mind. And unfortunate for Mike Davis, it doesn't exactly lead to a lot of opportunities to do great things or gain a lot of momentum in the promotion because of that. First time we've seen him in a while, and you know, here he is. They do him no favors. If I'm not mistaken, I believe Slava Claus is a last second replacement, and if he's not, I think maybe the fight itself is a last second addition.
I think Slava Claus, I think he is a last second I think it was like last week maybe he got plugged in.
That's right, because Mike Davis was supposed to fight Uros Medic, which I thought was a better matchup for him, because Medic, while flashy, no grit, and really no other path to victory other than a flashy knockout. Now he's got a Wolverine furry chested knockout, machine in front of him here. So anything to add on this one? Anything you
What's
like?
What's the over under on this 2.5?
I believe so. Yes.
Kind of like the under.
Okay.
Yeah. What are the odds on the under? That's the real question.
Yeah. So just real quick, first time we've seen Mike Davis since his January 2021 win over Mason Jones. And then let me see here. Let me pull up. Mike Davis. Where am I at? I lost myself in the sauce here. Okay, Mike Davis. Under 2.5, is it even or even money? Some places, some books have it at plus 105.
Plus 105 for the under.
Under 2.5, correct.
Yeah, I mean, both of these guys are known to finish fights when they actually do fight. So,
yeah, let's get on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to write these down as we go because we did well last time doing that. Right?
Yes. Started out poorly.
What are you talking about?
It did. It did. It started out not okay. Turned around with the puffy submission.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Into the Pfeiffer knockout, and then finished off with the under 4.5 in the main event.
Do we want to talk about how we called Sabatini being the leg of that parlay that was going to break everything up?
And it's because we put him in too many pieces.
Yep.
That's it. It's a betting curse, man. I don't care what it is.
Yep.
I mean, it could be a Amanda Nunes versus anybody.
Yeah.
You put her in four different parlays, she's taking the L.
Yeah, toddler's beating her. Yeah. Here's the other thing too, is I pride myself to an extent at being the person that knows that like little thing that's happening in the background, because I think with this being an individualized sport, all those things that happen outside of the cage can impact how a fighter performs in the cage. It bothers me that we went into that event not knowing, one, that his brother just died. Oh my God. And then Andre Feely, him and his wife losing a baby going into that fight. Yeah. I mean, those are two, dude, I would have never bet against a guy who's fighting after his brother just died, or a guy that just lost a baby.
Yeah.
I would never have done that.
No,
never. And I mean, you know,
fans, Andre Feely fought
flawless.
Like he came out like we've never seen him come out.
He also looked yoked.
Yeah, dude, he was huge.
He looked like one of the biggest 145ers I've ever seen. Yeah. Not that Bill Algeo didn't fight well.
Yeah. Not that Bill Algeo didn't win that fight.
Man, that criteria. I said this and I got pushback. I got pushback based on it. They were saying, based on the way the scoring criteria is set up, Andre Feely won the fight. But statistically speaking, looking at that, Andre Feely lost that fight.
Bill Algeo landed 56 strikes when Andre Feely had him in a body in the body lock.
I know. I know. I know.
So bad. And that was, here's the thing. This it's what we said going into that fight. We literally said Andre Feely, the only way he wins this fight is if he takes it to the ground. Mm-hmm. And he took it to the ground. He body locked him for 3.5 minutes. Got his face pounded for 3.5 minutes. And still won that round.
The people that were on the position and the punches, right? Because a lot of people were like, oh, he had his back and he's just punching backwards, hitting him in the face. Those punches mean nothing. Those punches mean nothing until they mean everything. Something.
Yeah, exactly.
And you say, well, you know, those clearly weren't going to do anything. I would argue that you wouldn't say the same thing about the Macy Chason Irene Aldana fight when Irene popped up and kicked her with the heel in her liver and delivered a knockout that we had never seen before. I would argue that the same could be said about Kevin Holland and Jacare when Kevin Holland was laying on his back and Jacare was standing up and Kevin Holland just sort of swiped at him and hit him with like the back of his fist and then came forward and hit him again while laying on his back and knocked Jacare out from the bottom. So under that same premise, if Jacare is on top in Kevin Holland's guard, raining down punches or just laying there, and Kevin Holland starts doing this, right, and hitting him in the face, by your logic, you're saying those punches shouldn't account for anything. But Kevin Holland had the ability to knock out Jacare from that position. Bill Algeo, conversely, is laying there with Feely on his back and he's landing unimpeded strong punches to Feely's face. Those don't matter until the one does, right? And then all of a sudden things get weird. Like a guy we're going to talk about at the co-main event of the evening, Randy Brown. Tell that to Randy Brown and Nico Price. Nico Price knocked him out from the bottom with a hammer fist coming up.
Mm-hmm.
It just you cannot say those punches don't matter based on the position, because they matter. Or, you know, they may not matter until they do, and then they mean everything. So,
update: Bo Nickel knocked him down 22 seconds in, took full mount, put him in a choke,
got swept,
put him in a choke, and then from full mount rolled to his back, sunk in a triangle. And put him to sleep. It was a wrap. 40 seconds, Bo Nickel just murdered him. Just murdered.
It's a bad dude.
I think it was like the third strike. Just dropped him flat on his back, jumped on top, rolled to his back, and yeah, just put him to sleep.
It's a bad dude, man.
Yeah,
it's a bad dude. I got into it with some stupid ass internet troll, some 15-year-old. First of all, if you're under, I mean, look, I'm not an ageist at all, and I'm not discriminating on age, but this modern generation of folks, if you're under the age of 20, don't talk to me about anything combat sports. You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. I don't care. I'm smarter than you, and I know more than you. I've forgotten more about the sport than you know. And I got into it with some kid about Bo Nickel, and it was just simple mathematics. And you, as a person that loves a good debate, can just understand the mathematics of this. I said, I forget the context of the post, but I said, I'm not surprised considering he's one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. And this kid was like, he's not one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. And he proceeded to list other people that had done this, that, and the other. And I went through Bo Nickel's accomplishments. And I said, look, if you're a two-time national champion, if you're a three-time Big Ten champion, if you're an Olympic alternate, if you're this, you're that, given the width of people throughout the world, and given the people that compete at this level or compete in, let's just say, collegiate level wrestling, 22,000 kids a year go through collegiate wrestling programs, and you win and you become a collegiate champion, you become a if you go to Worlds and you win, if you become an Olympic alternate and you win, that puts you among the best of the best of the best.
Yeah.
And say, you can say, oh yeah, well, there's people that beat him in wrestling. I'm not saying that he's undefeated. That's not what we're arguing about. I'm arguing that over the course of the last 25 years, we'll just use that as a sample size, over the course of the last 25 years, the several million kids that have come through collegiate programs and then went on from those programs to try to compete at a world and Olympic level, only a handful have accomplished what he's accomplished. So take him and say the rarefied air of, say, 100 people that were able to win Worlds twice, win division championships three times, become Olympic alternates. You're talking about less than 100 people out of a couple million. That makes you one of the best ever.
Yeah.
Using that sample size, if you played in the NBA, you are one of the best basketball players of all time by comparison to anybody that's ever played basketball before.
Yeah.
You're not the best amongst them. I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's one of the best wrestlers that's ever wrestled.
Listen, I agree with you.
In this
100%.
This little freaking gay lord wanted to push back on me. And I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. You just don't understand. It's internet arguing, right? It's, if I say I like apples, that must mean I hate oranges. And it's just, you're an idiot. That's not what I'm saying. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, Kyle Dake lost when he tried the Olympics. What?
No, I was just,
supporting that argument.
Supporting that, but it also just made me think that Jordan Burroughs just won a world championship again after people were saying Burroughs was cooked.
Yeah.
He just came back and won.
Kyle Sanderson.
Oh, yeah.
He lost. I mean, obviously, he was undefeated in his college career, but everybody takes losses. Nobody wins everything except for Floyd Mayweather.
What about Khabib?
Khabib.
What about Khabib? You guys are forgetting about Khabib. Khabib number one.
All right, so Mike Davis versus Slava Claus.
Yeah, under 2.5.
Under 2.5.
Don't forget about Khabib. Khabib never lost. He's the GOAT. Khabib. All right, here we go. Yeah, I can be a fanboy, dude. It was really rough about not having an event this last weekend was all these internet MMA accounts that didn't have shit to post about, so they just started posting Khabib stuff because they knew it'd get clicks and comments for sure. On it. Bro, come on, man. We got to be better than this. You got to be better than this. All right. Mm-hmm. John Castaneda at 19-5, taking on Daniel Santos at 10-2. I should have locked on producer Jake to come in here for this. That's what I should have done. Castaneda -210, Santos +162, over on rounds. 2.5 here. This is, keep in mind, this is John Castaneda, the fighter, not John Castaneda, the author, those of you who are.
What is John Castaneda an author of?
Oh, bro, you've never read any. Well, you obviously have never read any Castaneda stuff. So Castaneda is like this weird, mysterious figure, bro. He's a very weird guy. Was very big in like the late 60s, 70s, like when the spiritualism movement took off. So basically, he may or may not be one of the greatest frauds that have ever lived. Very mysterious dude. Was writing his doctoral thesis or dissertation, rather. I think in Stanford, UCLA, some California school. Anyway, he claims to go to this shaman in Mexico, like deep Mexico, and learn like his shamanic ways about how to, you know, communicate with the divine. Right. So he writes his book, or he writes his dissertation that gets turned into a book. And then it gets, you know, gets celebrities get, you know, like the celebrity pastor thing. Everybody wants to hang out with John Castaneda. So then he starts writing more books and stuff, and he's disappearing on these pilgrimages with the shaman's name, who's like, it's a very basic name. I cannot remember what it was. Anyway, turns out that the shaman may or may not have been a real person. And Castaneda may or may not have just been full of shit. And then after like 9 books, we just get like word that Castaneda died, but nobody like attended a funeral. So people think that maybe he might still be alive somewhere.
I don't want to correct you on.
Okay. What,
is it Carlos Castaneda?
Is it Carlos? I thought maybe
I think it's Don. Carlos. And the book is The Teachings of Don Juan.
Don Juan, that's the shaman. Don Juan.
Yeah, yep. Don Juan's the shaman. It's Carlos Castaneda.
Sorry, I thought it was John Castaneda.
That's okay.
Okay. You know, the noodle gets going. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, Carlos, because I am seeing, I'm Googling here and I see, yeah. Is Carlos Castaneda still alive? Where is Carlos Castaneda? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You write a book, The Way of the Shaman, and mm-hmm. then The Teachings of Don Juan. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, yeah. All right.
Yeah. So, anyway, so yeah, I think anyway, if anybody's into Castaneda, there you go. There. All right. So, as far as the fighters go, I initially when I came across this fight, I'm on Castaneda. I mean, that was one. I really liked his win over Miles Johns, and Miles Johns is a guy that I'm high on. I took Castaneda to win over Eddie Wineland, and he did exactly that, right? But that's more so because I think Eddie Wineland, with all due respect, is was at that point well on his way out. If I'm not mistaken, I took a small flyer on him to beat Nathaniel Wood, which did not go, you know, way at all. But he came back, got the win over Eddie Wineland. So I'm like, okay, you were outmatched against Nathaniel Wood. You beat up old Eddie Wineland. Miles John is the first real test to see where you're at. And he gets Miles Johns out of there, arm triangle, I think in the third round. So I'm a big fan of that adapt and overcome. Taking on a guy here in Daniel Santos who, while aggressive and while he can finish fights, I don't necessarily, I think this is just too much too soon for him. He's coming off a loss over Julio Arce. I feel good in just a Castaneda money line play here. I don't need to get fancy with this. Anything there for you?
No, that's fine by me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm actually looking at probably doing Castaneda and somebody else as like a little two leg.
Can you just call him by his nickname?
Sexy Mexi.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. It's a good one. And it's what I love about it is S-E-X-I.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Sexi Mexi. All right. We don't need to spend too much time on this next one. Sadiq Youssef at 12-2 taking on Don Shaynus at 12-3. Youssef is just, he's too big of a favorite, right? Can we agree that at minus 1,200, he's too big of a favorite?
Yes.
Over Shane is coming at plus 630, over and around is at 1.5. There's just really no There's no need to risk it, right? No need to risk it for the biscuit. He's not even worth putting on as a parlay, correct?
No, he's not worth putting anything on.
Okay.
But what if?
Okay.
You know, just it's as you like to say, it's a game of punch face.
High stakes punch face, yep.
Anything can happen.
Yeah.
What's Sheamus by first round knockout?
Let's see here. My man Don Sheamus wins in round one. Is it plus 1800? Sheamus by KO in round one, plus 3000.
Why not? Why not? Give me a reason why you don't, you know, your favorite little salt based sprinkle on Sheamus by first round KO. What if he catches him?
Yeah, I mean, what if he pulls a damn Damon Jackson?
What if he pulls a damn Damon Jackson?
What if he pulls a damn Damon Jackson?
He's won his last three fights by first round knockout.
10 wins in his career, or no, 12 wins in his career, 10 of which have come inside the distance.
Mm-hmm.
8 career wins by knockout. Yeah, I'm game.
Seven of those eight being in the first round.
I'm game.
He's got a flying knee KO.
Hold on a second here. So let's do this. if we're gonna sprinkle Salt Bae here, let's do. I mean, these are huge plus money plays here. Sheamus by KO in round one is plus 3,000. Sheamus by KO in round two is plus 4,000. So can we take that sprinkle? Can we bust it down into Jimmy's and put one on each one?
Yeah. Well, they'll have a prop of him rounds one or two KO come up, which
I don't have one.
No, I know it will come up though. Yes, that's something to look at. It'll be something, you know, you put the two together, it'll be something like plus 2000. So it'll be like 20-1 for him to win by knockout and then win the first two rounds.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, we might see I'm trying to think of the one that screwed everybody a couple weeks ago. And, of course, it was a damn James Krause fighter. Oh, the David Onama Nate Landwehr fight, where Onama was like a minus 600 taking on Nate Landwehr.
And Landwehr came out and just was an absolute – dude, he's fun to watch.
Yeah.
He's a maniac.
Yeah, he put that on him.
His fucked up hairline, he's a blast to watch.
Bro, hairline is a disaster. Head shape is a disaster. Yeah, whole funny. Head shape. Like you know, like some people, like they got like the back of their heads flat because their parents just laid them down too much.
Never get tummy time. We just laid on our back.
We just laid on our back. No tummy time. Nate Landwehr looks like they took turns laying him on his left and his right because his head is just like... Nate Landwehr could play hide and seek in a bookshelf, bro. Yeah. That dude could just...
Looks like his parents put his head in a vice grip when he was growing
That's
up.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like he had a real strong aunt when he was a baby that was like, come here, give me them kisses, and just squeezed his shit. His hair is just put the whole forehead pushed to the front. Yeah.
Shameless Sheamus. IKO early.
Let's get him out of there. Let's get him out of there. Oh my gosh. Ronnie Barcel. I can't. That's such worthy. Nobody else out there that's not just complete degen is sitting there going, Sheamus by KO round one, bro. I told you.
Here's the thing, like it's super low risk, high reward.
Boom.
In a sport where literally anything can happen.
Yeah.
Sadiq Yusek could throw a leg kick and Anderson Silva that shit. Step back, boom, KO.
Here's what I love about this is they initially tried to book this 2 weeks ago and it was booked, but they couldn't clear it in time. So now while it's short notice, Sheamus has had 2 weeks to get ready for this.
Yeah.
Which I like.
That's a lot of time.
I like how you just talked me into this. I like how you talked me into this for sure. All right. Ronnie Barcelos at 16-3, taking on Trevin Jones at 13-8. I'm gonna need you, if you can. I know you're not a big Barcelos guy. But I have a real problem with Trevin Jones.
And I think you have a real problem with fighters named Trevin.
That might be it too. You know what it stems from? It stems from Trayvon, and it makes me think of that.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm just kidding. All right. So no, the thing with Trevin The thing with Trevin is that I consistently bet against him. I consistently bet against him, and he cost me money every single time. Every single time this dude cost me money, and you know what it is? He is the beginning of my issue with Chris Tognoni. That's where it came into play, because Trevin Jones fought, was it Timur Valiyev? Was it the Timur Valiyev fight? Hold on a second here. Yeah, it was the
Tim contest.
It was a no contest, but the problem is that Timur Valiyev rocked him and beat him like a heavy bag for a round, and Chris Tognoni would not stop the fight, despite the fact that Valiyev had him just destroyed. And then in the second round, if I'm not mistaken, when this happened, he freaking he caught Valiyev and hurt him, and Tognoni jumped in immediately and stopped it and didn't let Timur Valiyev fight it out. And that was the beginning. One, it was one of the first fights of the night, and then two, it was like the beginning of a really bad card for me. And I've always held on to a hatred for Chris Tognoni for that. I've also held on to just a hatred for Trevin Jones out of that as well. I can't approach this in an unbiased fashion. That's just the way I feel about it. And I know that he's, coming off back-to-back losses. He lost to Yaveed Basharat, who won last 2 weeks ago, lost to Saeed Akub Karamanov before that, but his win over Mario Bautista cost me money as well. So my man has cost me money on more than one occasion, and I don't like it. I don't like it. So
you're going to bet against him and he's going to win.
I feel like Barcelos is the one I want to parlay with Castaneda.
Okay.
So
what's Castaneda? He was a what?
-190.
Okay. So your parlay calculator, let's see here. Let's see. So we got a -245 and a -190.
Yeah.
Should be like +150, maybe. Maybe.
+140.
+115.
+115. See if the line moves a little bit. Maybe. It's a lot of it. That's you okay?
Yeah, a little sneeze.
Let's see, a little booger sugar going there.
Yeah.
All right. Sneeze. Gotcha. All right. Co-main event, anything? Randy Brown taking on Francisco Trinaldo. Trinaldo is 28-8. Randy Brown at 15-4. Bro, if we had good nicknames last event, we have terrible nicknames this one.
Yeah.
Not good nicknames. Masa Runduba taking on Rude Boy. Randy Brown at a -340. Trinaldo +250 over on rounds. 2.5.
I mean, Randy Brown has to be the play here, but it's -340. Randy Brown by decision, maybe.
Yeah.
But -340, I mean, what are you going to lay on that? You know what I mean?
I don't take him to finish Trinaldo, even though he could. He could. I mean, if you're on Trinaldo, I think you take him by submission. I don't think you would count on him knocking out Randy Brown.
No. He's going to be sucking on his nipples to get close enough.
Exactly. Yeah, it's almost a no bet for me, and I'm trying to avoid three-leg MMA parlays. So
three-leg anything, stay away from it.
Okay. This is basically a pass. And if you're thinking about this fight, it's dog or pass.
Dog or pass. Okay, sure.
I'm just saying, I'm throwing that out into the general listener sphere.
Right.
Trinaldo is relatively durable, but his cardio is bad, and bad cardio makes cowards. Brown could get him out of there. Trinaldo's path to victory is submission, and that's it. So, for those of you looking for a little bit more insight on this, that's what I'm thinking. I'm on Brown. I would think Brown by KO or decision, Trinaldo by sub. The length is going to be a problem.
Big time.
Big problem. They'll talk about the hand size and the grip strength of Randy Brown a lot. They love to talk about him and who's the other kid? Montel Jackson. They love to talk about the hand size and the grip strength for both of these dudes. Anyway, all right. Main event of the evening, Mackenzie Dern, 12-2. Yan Xiaonan, 15-3. Mackenzie Dern here is going to be your favorite, and justifiably so. Minus 250. Yan is at a plus 190. I don't have the rounds on this one yet, Soup. So
it's a women's fight.
It's five rounds. 3.5.
If it's 3.5, the under is going to be big plus money. I think it's probably going to come in at 4.5.
Interesting.
But okay. Listen, I went against the thought process of it last week. Well, 2 weeks ago, I went against the thought process of women's science. I'm all about women's science this week, man. Okay. And it's nothing against Mackenzie Dern. I think Mackenzie Dern's, I think she's a, I don't want to say great fighter. I think she's a very established fighter. We'll go with that. But I just like Yan's ability to keep this on the feet. And if it stays on the feet, Mackenzie Dern's in a world of hurt.
I will agree with that.
She has to get her down.
Yeah.
But who was it that Yan fought that she got to? Who was it?
What are you talking about?
Jessica Aguilar?
Give me more words than
what. Who did she fight that just wrestled her to death? One of her last two fights.
Carla Esparza. Carla Esparza finished her.
Yes.
Carla Esparza put her in the crucifix.
Yes.
And pounded her out, which is my concern. Yep. What Mackenzie Dern's going to do to her.
But can Mackenzie Dern get her down?
If she can get her down. Because
that's something that she has struggled with throughout her career. She's a great grappler.
Yes.
Once she gets you down, it's a nightmare. But her ability to actually take opponents down, she has struggled with. So,
what is Mackenzie Dern's takedown accuracy percentage? Do you know?
I think I looked it up earlier, man. I could have swore I saw 9%.
It is 9%. Now,
that's really bad.
Really bad. But your nipple should be tingling here. Do you know what Yan Xiaonan's nickname is?
Nine. Oh boy.
So scientifically speaking, does that mean that she's got Mackenzie Dern's number? Or does that mean Mackenzie Dern has her number?
I like Yan's. I like the price tag at plus 190 here, taking the dog. If she could, like I said, there's two clear paths to victory for both of these girls. Mackenzie Dern is get it to the ground. Yan's keep it standing. I think if either one, I'm talking myself into a finish here. Mm-hmm. I think if either one is effective in their game plan, Yan either knocks Mackenzie Dern out or Mackenzie Dern wrestles her to death and gets her out of there. So now I'm talking myself into the under.
Depending on what it is.
If it's 3.5, no thank you. 4.5, yes please.
Okay. 6 wins by KO, 1 win by submission for Yan Xiaonan.
Yeah.
In her career. So has the knockout ability. I don't necessarily know that I love her to get it done. Dude, unless it's just
volume,
a
sloppy, though.
Yeah, as I said, unless it's a sloppy Mackenzie Dern. Right?
She's super fast, and she puts a lot of volume out there.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Here's the thing, right? As I look at this, and Mackenzie's most likely path to victory is submission. She said that that's what she wants. She wants a submission, and she wants it in round one. She's been hyping up the idea that she's going after Charles Oliveira's all-time finish record. That's what she wants. She wants to be the all-time finish leader in I think not only the women's divisions, but the entire UFC, which is a lofty goal and aspiration. But to me, it would indicate, you know, at least as far as lip service is concerned, an intensity going into the fight where she wants to, you know, she thinks that, and justifiably so, a win here will get her a title shot. So she's got to put, she has to put a little stamp on it. She can't go out there and win a boring 5-round decision here and expect to get a title shot, right? I mean, she's got to put a stamp on it. However, it's minus money for her by submission, and her by KO is at plus 1200. So it lets you know where Vegas thinks this is going to go. I don't think she's going to knock, you know, Yan out. Her
first career knockout.
Right. I don't think so. But what concerns me is, like we see in women's MMA, is cardio makes them tired, puts them in bad positions that they just simply can't get out of. And it's not necessarily that they're being hurt. They're just stuck. Mm-hmm. I'm just stuck. I'm a turtle on my back. I'm stuck in a crucifix. Women get themselves in such weird positions when they're fighting. A leg's wrapped around and a triangle turned around. You got like a reverse scissor thing going on. They're all in kinds of weird stuff. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, dude. I don't love Mackenzie Dern by KO. I don't see the value in playing her at minus money when her money line is already at minus money. I think you play Yan or you don't play it at all. Or under. Yeah. Or the under.
So here's my thing.
I don't know, dude.
Is Mackenzie Dern's head completely in this fight?
I'm glad you bring this up. I've got a conspiracy theory I'm working on here.
We talked about Andre Fillon, you know, this is this isn't like losing a baby or losing your brother,
mm-hmm.
but she could be losing her best friend.
Oh, aren't you, man? That's deep. That's some real Notebook shit you got there. for those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, to the trained eye, or the watchful eye, it would appear that the Instagram and Twitter accounts of Mackenzie Dern and her husband have scrubbed one another from existence. So if you follow him, he has no pictures of Mackenzie up anywhere. And if you follow her, she's got no pictures up anywhere. And then anytime they show her at a UFC event, lately, she's been doing the nice little wave to the camera and she's missing the hardware on her left hand. Now, Dale, she's a grappler. She's a grappler, jujitsu fingers, the whole nine. You know what I mean? She may not wear a ring. Well,
may not fit.
She got the knuckles from holding on to the gi. I get it. I completely get it. I completely gi knuckles aside. I think that if I'm not mistaken, I think that we've probably seen her wear one before. And then also, you know, wasn't shy about posting pictures of her kid and this dude together online. And now those of you will notice that the flavor of the post has taken a decided left turn, even more so that, I mean, they were already provocative before, but she put a video out the other day of just her hosing herself off, like legitimately with a hose outside.
Fresh start. She's cleaning off all the dirt.
Stacy's mom, you know, she's literally, I like that symbolic. She's washing off the dirt. Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. You gave me something there and I'm not taking it, but I know what you did. I know what you did and I'm not doing it.
All right. I'm going to do this right now.
That was close. I was halfway down the sentence and I was like, oh, it's a setup. Don't do that.
I'm going to give him a nickname. It's Trey Gee Knuckles Van Buskirk.
Trey Gee Knuckles. Yeah. Yeah. Gee Knuckles. Yeah.
That's good.
Hey, Mike. Gee Knuck.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Look at it this way. So plus 190.
Mm-hmm.
Just based off of winning the fight, if these two fought 10 times, how many times do you think Yan would win the fight? Odds aside, these two fight 10 times, how many times are you giving Yan a win?
I'm leaning at her as like a 50-50, like a four or five, which makes me player.
Based off those implied odds.
Yeah.
At a plus 190, you're sitting, I think it's like 30%. So yeah. If you think that she wins this fight more than 30% of the time, you take that, you view that as value. Mm-hmm. And you take the plus 190.
Yeah. When I think of women, mm-hmm. MMA fighters that deserve the minus 250 and higher. Mm-hmm. Mackenzie Dern does not hit that mark for me, no, regardless of opponent. It's not somebody that I ever am willing to. Maybe one day I'll put her in that category, but she's not there right now.
And then this goes against, like, you know, we both have a very common thinking when we go, when you have a grappler wrestler against a striker, we almost always side with where the basics of mixed martial arts is derived from, the wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I throw that out the window when it comes to women.
Yeah. Well, you have to throw all logic.
Yeah.
All so logic. Yeah. In life and mixed martial arts doesn't apply here.
Yeah, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
You cannot. Well, let's talk about some prelim fights. You're the worst. The absolute worst. All right, let's run through these prelims pretty quick. Guido Cannetti plus 240. Randy Costa minus 300. Over on rounds is at 1.5.
Guido.
I'm on Guido here. I think the value. I think the value's on Guido. And,
absolutely.
And you already know why I feel this way, but why is the value on Guido here?
You ever going to have Randy Costa on the show?
Probably not.
He's a bitch.
Definitely not now.
He's got no fight in him, man. Yeah. All it takes is one or two boops on the nose, and he's, oh, no.
Yeah.
He covers up. He probably, listen, he beat my ass.
100%. Yeah. Here's the thing, because you'll piss people off with it.
I will.
You have to say, I'm fully aware I am not a mixed martial artist, absolutely, and Randy Costa will beat me up.
Yes.
That being said, he doesn't like getting booped on his nose.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. He doesn't like getting touched in the face at all.
Nobody really does like getting punched in the face, but there are people that handle it better than others.
There's some people out there.
Yeah. There's some weirdos out there. There's some dudes out there. Man, did I ever tell you about this guy I worked with in the prison one time that used to pay people to poop in diapers? I buried the lead there, but let's. He doesn't listen to this show, so I'll put his whole name out there. No, anyway, his last name was Hawks, Hawkes, right? Real weird, squirrely dude, right? Him and I work for the DOC together. And, you know, dude, it's late night. It's night shift. Anybody that's worked night shift, you know what kind of weird conversations you get into night shift, right? So me and Hawks are sitting there one night, and we're talking, and he, at a certain point, we reach that trust threshold. You know what I mean? We reach that point where we can talk about some stuff. We're in the trust tree. My man Hawks decides to tell me that he's got a thing for diapers. And not just any diapers, but like
poopy diapers.
Didn't discriminate. He's in for a pee diaper too, but really loved the idea of a poo diaper. Now,
well, he has to be into a pee diaper because you can't poop if you can't poop without peeing.
Correct.
All right.
That's weird. You can't have poops without peas, but you can have peas without poops. Everybody knows this. It is known. This is the way. Anyway, my man decides to tell me in the trust tree that he's into the diaper thing. And I'm like, well, you know, like women, men, whatever. He goes, it doesn't matter. And I'm like, why? Explain this to me, because I don't understand what I'm like, what's the deal? And he's like, I don't know, man. I just like the idea of somebody wearing a diaper and then using it. And then I'm like, so what do you do? And he's like, well, this was when Craigslist was a thing. He's like, you know, if I know somebody, he's like, I got a couple guys and people that I know in my neighborhood, because, you know, rural South Carolina trailer park. He's like, I got some people, you know, he's like, I'll pay him $50. And I'm like, so are you watching them use the diaper? And he goes, no. He's like, I just want, like, you put the diaper on, you go in the bathroom, and I'm just going to stand outside the door while you fill the diaper up. And then when you're done, you take the diaper off and you just leave it, and I'll pay you, and then you go.
First of all, how can you ever admit this to somebody?
Bro, he's just talking about it like it's the most normal thing that's ever happened. And I was like, Hawk, so I mean, will you pay like $20? He's like, $50. I'll pay $50 for somebody to poop in a diaper for me.
I'd have been shitting in diapers every night for him.
Bro, I mean, if you could have smuggled a diaper into the prison, I imagine people probably would have.
Do it in the parking lot.
I could have. I could have supplemented my gas money. I didn't even think about it. I remember thinking to myself, it's one of those moments in life where it's almost like a movie where there's like weird, like lo-fi playing in the background. And I'm like, how did I get here? Why am I sitting in this place locked in at 3 a.m. with murderers and stuff all around me talking to a dude about why he pays people $50 to poop in diapers? It's a very weird thing. Yeah.
Speaking of that, they put out a list of like the number one or the top 10 grossing companies that provided services. Amazon number one last year.
Mm-hmm.
OnlyFans number two.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. That Cash Me Outside. How about that girl?
Yeah. She made a lot of money.
Bad Bobby.
Yeah.
Yeah. She made $56 million last year on OnlyFans.
I realize I live on this planet, so do my wife and kids, but sometimes I'm just like ready for a meteor, bro.
Dude, 56 million just for, and she didn't even sell anything. She just put pictures up.
Dude, I would, if you gave me like Thanos style power, I would snap half these people off the planet right now.
56 million. It'd be like The Leftovers.
Dude, it would be like, if they're like, Dale, what would your ideal dystopian universe look like? Handmaid's Tale. I'm bringing back Handmaid's Tale. Don't you ever let me get elected to office. I will Handmaid's Tale this whole place. I will.
Oh my.
I've only watched the first two seasons. I don't know how bad what I just said was, but I'm pretty sure
in the first season they commit vaginal mutilation.
Oh, well. Are they OnlyFans models that they do it to?
It's not even that. I can't hate them. Go get the bag. It's the people that are supporting it and paying it.
It's ridiculous all around. It's ridiculous. It's degeneracy is what it is.
I know.
You're going to make me sound like an old man here. I'm going to sound like old man yelling at the clouds, right? Yeah, 100% is. But I hate, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is. It's absolutely insane.
Okay, Costa. What happened here? Costa. We're on Guido.
Yeah, Guido Canetti.
Money line.
Yeah.
All right. Under 2.5 is at -200.
Yeah.
Want to do that too?
No. Just get because if Costa grinds out a decision and we lose on both,
he's we're not all pissed. Grinding out a decision. Randy Costa grinding out a decision. That dude doesn't ground it. He can't even grind black pepper. He's got no grip. What are you talking about?
Doesn't have the grip strength like Randy Brown.
Pepper's too spicy for a guy like Randy Costa. It's too spicy.
Yeah. He sweats when he eats barbecue chips.
No. Pepper's too spicy. Barbecue sauce makes him sweat. He does like boops on the nose. All right. +240. Guido Canetti. Oh my gosh. All right. I don't even know what to do anymore. We got to throw this whole show out. All right. Julia Stolyarenko taking on Chelsea Chandler. oh my gosh. I'm so out of it right now. It's a pick 'em. It's a pick 'em. Over and around 2.5.
Okay.
So we can't even apply women's science to this.
You can't.
I'll take the chick with more big show experience and the arm bars. I'll take Stolyarenko here at Pick'em.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Not on the slip come this weekend unless somebody moves into dog status. If it stays Pick'em, I'm just avoiding it. I will say this: if you're on Stolyarenko, I mean, her submission is her path to victory, and it's at +300.
And since she's been in the UFC, she's fought, I don't want to say high level of competition, but she's fought
good fighters.
Jessica Rose Clark.
Yep.
Was her last, which whenever Jessica Rose Clark, And then she has lost to Alexis Davis.
Yep.
Lost to Kunitskaya.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's beat. I mean, she's lost the good chicks, and she's lost the women that are bigger than her. I think that's the thing to put it, is she's lost to women that are bigger than her. She's not small herself. I mean, we're talking about 135-pound woman. I mean, she's 5'7", but she's fighting Chelsea Chandler. Chelsea Chandler is the same size, and you know, last time she fought, or not last time she fought, I don't know, maybe it was. Fought at 145, so I would be cautious on a Stoliarenko play unless she moves into dog status. If she moves into dog, I'd take her there based on quality competition. Otherwise, I would just stay away from this one. I would just stay away.
Yeah.
And if Stoliarenko wins, it's one, she's got to make the weight. That's the hard part. And after she makes the weight, her path to victory is submission. She's not going to win a decision. She's not going to knock her out. It will be a submission. So if you see that, you take Stoliarenko by sub at plus 300. Just get yourself the plus money and keep it moving. All right.
Okay.
Next fight, we've got Maxime Grishin at 32-9, taking on Philippe Lins at 15-5. Some former PFL standouts are now, you know, gracing the UFC octagon. I have tried in vain to talk myself into Philippe Lins based on his kickboxing background and what he has shown at times, or what he showed at times in the PFL. That has not materialized in the UFC. What has materialized, though, is Maxime Grishin looking better in the UFC than he did in the PFL. Minus 170 here for Maxime, and I love him at this price. I love him. I think this is a money line play that I feel confident in.
And it's not even that Maxime Grishin looked bad in the PFL. He just ran into a very good fighter and a hot fighter in the PFL.
Yeah.
And Jordan Johnson. So.
I mean, so, well, yes, no, maybe so. I don't know about that, because you had the Jordan Johnson fight, the first one he won, and then the second one.
You're right. He did beat him the first one.
Right.
I was thinking that he lost the first one, but did beat him the first one, then they drew the second one.
Right. Yeah, the second one was a draw.
Correct. My condolences.
Yeah, I mean, what are you gonna do? Speaking of Jordan, it's sort of like an end of an era, to be honest with you, because Jordan doesn't fight anymore. He's selling real estate.
Yeah.
And he put a picture up online the other day, and it was like something like a remembering the good old days or whatever. And it was him, two other guys, and Taylor Johnson in the picture. And I was like, man, I haven't heard from Taylor in a long time.
I was just going to ask about that. Yeah.
I'm wearing Taylor's shirt from the one fight that one of the fights we sponsor him for. So I messaged Jordan and I'm like, hey, have you spoken to Taylor? And he's like, no, I haven't talked to him. Taylor, scrubbed his history online, no social media anymore. His wife, same thing, scrubbed it. Taylor's mom and dad follow me on Instagram. They haven't posted anything in months. Very strange. Very strange. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I know life gets in the way and people don't give a shit about social media anymore, but it's just interesting. You know what I mean? Anyway, talking about Maxime Grishin. I like Grishin in the spot, minus 170.
That's good.
He's big. He's big. He's strong. He's experienced. I mean, you're talking about a guy.
Lots of experience.
Right. Over 40 professional fights, and he's got fights outside of that and grappling experience. You know, just go ahead and assume because he's Russian, there's some combat sambo in there, you know, and just Philippe Lins ain't doing nothing. He's just not going to do it. Okay. We're on board there. Christoph Yako, Brendan Allen. I know that's a big pet peeve for Brendan's and Brandon's. Allen plus 105, Christoph Yako minus 125, over rounds 2.5. I don't know why Yako's the favorite here, other than the fact that Allen picks and chooses what fights he's going to show up for. When Allen looks really good, he's really good. And when he's off, he's really bad. And Christoph Yako is like 55 on the highway, man. He just cruise control the whole time. You know exactly what you're going to get out of him. So I think for Allen to win this fight, or I'm sorry, for Jotko to win this fight it has to be one of the nights where Allen doesn't show up.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the over-under. I think I'd probably side with the over 2.5 in this fight.
Okay. Over 2.5, you're at -185.
That's a big price.
Yep.
I think it's a big price.
I think this is just an avoidable fight, man. I don't see a play here. I don't see a play here. I mean, Jotko by decision. Ugh. Who wants to bet anybody to win by decision? That is just, that's the most boring way to watch fighting. Is the pick
to somebody to win. Yeah, because then you're just cheering for them to take the first two rounds and then just not get knocked out and or submitted in the third.
Yeah.
And then praying to the gods that the three goons sitting ringside don't mess it up right for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I also have a really hard time backing any Henry Hooft based fighter right now, because Hooft has this undeniable ability to make everybody feel like they're an elite level kickboxer. And again, Brendan Allen, just sometimes he shows up and you're like, man, this kid's real good. And other times he's just, it's like you're like, I don't fucking understand what we're doing here. It just doesn't make any sense to me. How can you be so good one time and so bad the next? It just doesn't make any sense to me. For those of you that don't, Dale, could you provide me an example of what you're talking about here? Yes, I'm glad that you asked. Okay. Because despite the fact that he beat Sam Alvey and he beat Jacob Malkoon, I would like for you to explain to me how he goes on instantly heel hooks Carl Roberson, right? Like immediately jumps on Carl Roberson and rips his leg apart, but then goes out there and boxes Punahele Soriano's face off. And then goes out there and immediately gets the shit kicked out of him by Chris Curtis. Right? Everybody's, oh, what about the Dawkins brothers? What about the Dawkins brothers? Dawkins brothers are the future. He goes out there, kicks the shit out of Kyle Dawkins, goes out the next time, and gets knocked out by Cool Breeze, Pillow Hands, Sean Strickland. You just have, there's no rhyme or reason. He can choke out Kevin Holland, but he gets grinded out to a decision by Fluffy Hernandez. How? I don't understand. I just can't bet Brendan Allen. I avoid this fight.
Avoid at all cost.
Okay. All right. Joaquim Silva at 11-4 taking on Jesse Ronson. Ronson at 21-11. Again, another fight, Soup, that I would be inclined to lean on Ronson, because Ronson's been a gamer in the past. But his last time out, he looked so bad. I can't touch him till I see him win another fight. I cannot touch him. He's a +125 here. You will see sharp people on Ronson this weekend. I caution you on that, because when he's good, he's good. And when his last performance was awful, though. He looked terrible last time out. This is a very weird play for me. Back-to-back fights, I think I'm just going to, maybe eat some food and drink a beer and just take it off.
Listen, there's no shame in taking fights off. You don't have to bet every fight.
Are you sure? Because I feel like I have to bet everyone.
No, you don't have to bet
everyone. Okay, that's good. I'm glad. Thank you for that.
But there is one prelim that you do have to bet.
Oh, you have nothing here for this one?
Okay. No.
Okay, this isn't the one you're fired up for. Is it the Jessica Penne Tabitha Ricci fight, Baby Shark? It's not it? Are we taking women's science here? Jessica Penne +180, Tabitha Ricci -220, over on rounds is at 2.5. Baby Shark at a -220, is that even feasible? No, we got to pay Penne, right?
Yes. Yeah, I yes.
Let me ask you this.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me ask you this. Jessica Penne, single, but she trains Belgian Malinois. Red flag or no?
What did you just say to me?
She trains and owns Belgian Malinois.
Those dogs?
Mm-hmm.
Never even heard of. Now I gotta look this dog up.
It's the military dog. Think of the thing that looks like a German Shepherd, but smaller. Okay, gotcha, it's a fur missile. It's a $6,000 fur missile.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
So it's not a red flag then?
No, I like that. I like that a lot. Those are nice dogs. Yeah. I had no idea.
I didn't know that was going to go that way. I thought you were going to agree with me that that was weird.
Why is it weird?
I don't know. I have a thing about women and big dogs. It makes me uncomfortable. Like to see a woman by herself with a gigantic dog, it freaks me out.
All right, we're going to take Jessica Penny here based off of level of competition.
Okay, that's
she's
it.
Fought the who's who.
The who's who.
She has.
The greats, yeah. Not to mention she's good friends with Angela Hill, and Angela Hill just beat Lupi Godinez, so yeah. I don't like that.
Jessica Penny beat Lupi Godinez.
Don't talk to me about this. We're not talking about that fight. We're talking about the Angela Hill fight. There will be no Lupi slander on this show. None. Featured prelim, Aaliyah Latifi taking on Alexia Linick. Alexia Linick +150, Latifi -175, over and around at 1.5. I'm going to let you lead this. And if you say anything other than Alexia Linick, I'm going to end this entire show.
There's no, if you're not betting Alexia Linick here, you're in the wrong.
Thank you.
He's got more losses in his career than Aaliyah Latifi has wins. And that might sound like, okay, he's not that good. He's got 82 professional fights.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right.
He's got 48 subs.
That's right. Dude.
The boa constrictor is like the most, it's the perfect nickname for anybody in mixed martial arts. Like, it fits him better than any other nickname fits anybody.
Yes. Can he?
He's going to get his hand in that little meathead.
I said, can he choke out Aaliyah Latifi, though, with that neck. It's literally, he's like a turtle, like a legitimate.
Well, he's never been subbed.
Yeah.
Aaliyah Latifi's never lost by sub.
Have you ever seen anybody choke out a sledgehammer?
No.
Have you seen guys do the sledgehammer challenge where like they hold the hammer and then they try to like lean it down?
Yeah, dude.
And then kick, dude.
It's crazy.
Have you tried anything like that before?
I couldn't do it with a piece of paper.
It's wildly difficult. Nope.
Yeah. There's no way.
Maybe like a 6-pounder. You think you could do it with a 6-pound?
Probably not.
You think you could do it with a 6?
Dude,
they have like 8, 10s, and 12s. I get like, if you're like, I couldn't do it with a 12. Of course. Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. But a 6? A 6er? Give it a little. You know, you do a 6?
I don't know, man. It'd be tough. But yes, Alexia Lennox, the play here. 100%.
Yeah.
He has to be.
Okay.
Talk about size differential.
For sure.
I mean, that's, yeah. You know, he's fighting a toddler on steroids.
Dude, Alexia Lennox looks like the type of dude get a chick pregnant every time. Like, Alexia Lennox bats 1,000.
Yeah.
Like, you want, like, Alexia Lennox is like the type of dude, like somebody's having trouble conceiving, they just put some Alexia Lennox in him. Like that guy, you can tell he's got swimmers. Right
even
or wrong?
Even more reason to bet him.
Right or wrong?
Right.
That's just it, dude. I mean, he literally looks like, dude's like a, he's like an Ernest Hemingway. Like that guy, like literally could have kids into his 70s, which he probably will be. I mean, he's 60, what is he, 64 now? I know he's not 64, but he's pretty damn old.
He's pretty old.
He's not 50.
The amount of fights is incredible, man.
He's not 50. How old is he? He's in his 40s, though, right? Was he 47?
He was, he just turned 45.
45. Holy shit.
Yeah.
You know how you feel now.
Dude,
imagine you at 45, how you'd feel.
I
know how I feel now.
I do nothing but go to work, golf, and play Xbox.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's days like this morning, I woke up and my wife had to help me get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
My whole body was just stiff. I was just like, oh, why is my body? No way. 45 years old, professional fighter.
You know what it is? It's overuse. And I was reading a thing today. Not a because it's the MMA podcast, we'll keep it on, but we have to talk about basketball at least once per show. You see the thing where Lonzo Ball saying he can't even go up and down stairs.
Oh, I believe that. Yeah.
He's saying he physically cannot go up and down stairs.
No.
And it's because his knees are just shot. Like, he's got no cartilage left in his knees, and they're trying to figure out what to do with him because he can't lift his legs up. He can't run. He can't move. He can't even go up and down stairs. And I thought to myself, that kid has been playing basketball, putting those knees through hell since he was probably 7, 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Probably sooner, given the nature of his dad and his family. AAU ball all year round.
Yeah.
College ball, NBA. He's literally, the knees are shot. And then, you know, not that what we've done is comparable, but I literally played basketball for 4+ hours a day, every day for 15 years.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, my knees are shot. I mean, I've had multiple issues with them. It's a series of overuse, and I cannot even imagine what it feels like to get into consistent fist fights at 45 years old.
Yeah.
I know it's like, if somebody were like, hey, let's go run a full court game right now. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And it, like, cardio issues aside, my fucking legs would just fall apart. They'd fall apart. My legs, the bones of my legs would look like Forrest Gump's leg braces whenever he's running from those kids. That's how my tib and my fib would just come apart like that.
I'm stuck on these numbers here. How does Alexi Olenek have 60 professional wins and only 5 are from decision?
Because he will kill you or he will die trying.
It's amazing. It's so good. Well, that's a great featured prelim.
One of my most frustrating moments in all of mixed martial arts was an Alexi Olenek fight. Do you know which fight I'm thinking of?
Alexi Olenek.
Yep.
The Sergey Spivak fight?
No, the Mark Hunt fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
So I'm all
I
over.
I was going to say Dawkus, just because I know how you feel about the Dawkus brothers.
Dude.
But Mark Hunt, the opposite side of things.
Yeah.
The guy you love losing to Alexi Olenek.
Fuck the Dawkus brothers.
Yeah.
Mark Hunt comes out. I'm on Mark Hunt by KO, obviously. Mark Hunt comes out, and you can very clearly see staff.
Yeah.
Giant staff on his titty, and I'm like, damn it. They go out
like 30, Kevin Lee style staff.
Yeah. They hid that well. They hid that staff infection very well. He goes out and gets rocked by a jab. Alexi Olenek rocked Mark Hunt with a jab, mm-hmm. and then took him down and choked him out. But brutal. Okay. So the card as I have it right now, Olenek money line. Top to bottom, or no, bottom to top. This is the card I've got. Okay.
Okay.
You let me know if you want to add or subtract anything here. Olenek money line +150. Grinish, yes. or I'm sorry, Grishin money line -170.
Okay.
Did I say Guido money line already? I did not.
No, you didn't.
+240.
You only covered 2 fights.
+240. I'm sorry.
Guido +240.
Yep. All right. So those are our 3 prelim plays. Guido money line +240,
mm-hmm.
Grishin money line -170, and Olenek money line +150.
Correct.
Okay. Moving on to the main card, we're taking Sheamus in round 1 and 2 at +3 and 4,000.
Wait. Oh, yeah, Guido. I'm sorry. Yeah. Sheamus in rounds 1 and 2. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. At +3 and 4,000 respectively. Mm-hmm. Unless the combo comes out, unless your book
the combo should come out, and I would assume it'll be somewhere in the +2,000, +2,200 range, something like that.
Okay. And then we've got the Castaneda and Barcelos money line parlay at -115.
+115.
Sorry.
+115.
I wrote that down wrong. Okay. And then the Davis Slava Claus under 2.5 +105.
Yeah. Yeah. two gamers getting at it.
Okay. Okay. No play on the main event. Yeah. Oh, we're taking Yan at a +190.
Yan okay. +190.
Okay. All right, man. All right, we're taking Penne. You want to take Penne money line as well?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
+180?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. I think that's it, dude. We'll go ahead and put a bonus bad boy. We're coming up on 90 minutes. Anything you want me to edit out of this before we?
No, absolutely not.
I wouldn't do it anyway. Absolutely. I don't edit anything ever. Ever.
Tomorrow night on our show.
Oh, yeah.
Get ready for Tyler.
Why? Is he drunk?
The Jags, big win this weekend.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. He's
beat the piss out of the Chargers.
I'm sure he's fired up. Yeah.
Dude, at halftime, he texted me and he said, I can't wait for this week's show. Yeah. I texted him back and I said, nobody gives a shit about the Jaguars.
Nobody cares about the Jacksonville Jaguars. Nobody. Nobody cares about them at all. Nobody. Even they don't care. Trevor Lawrence looks completely disinterested. He's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you see his hype up speech? What was it, week before last? Or they recorded him in the tunnel? I think it's good.
Oh, I'm sure it's not.
Oh, it's like, hey boys, this is why we're here. Let's go out and show them who we are. Let's play our football.
That's it.
Win. And then he walks out. Like, all right, sunshine. Good job.
And that's why I'd take Jameis Winston over Trevor Lawrence any day.
Well, you want to eat that dub?
Eat that dub.
Eat that
dub. That dude's hilarious, man. He's an absolute riot.
He's an idiot.
Did you happen to see the pain that Mac Jones was in?
Dude, for a high ankle sprain. What a puss.
Hey, whoa.
What?
Listen, I don't know if you've ever suffered a severe ankle injury. But coming from a guy who's got mashed potato ankles.
That's true. You do have mashed potato ankles, yeah.
I mean, it's going to require surgery.
You think so?
Yeah.
I know they were speculating on it.
Apparently, the report came out last night, like, which makes sense because the team obviously wants to win.
Sure.
The quarterback wants to look for his future and get healthy. Mac wants to possibly get surgery and take as much time as possible. New England's saying, fuck that. We want you on the field.
Yeah, he's at the wrong team for that.
Yeah, they don't care, dude.
He's the wrong team. Bro, you want that, go to Indianapolis. They'll treat you with that Midwest hospitality.
Yeah.
Mac, you just take your time, dear.
Yeah.
The ladies will take care of you. Sharon will bring you dinner every night. You'll be just fine. Belichick's like, I will chop this kid up and sell his body on the black market. Yeah.
Not up there in Boston. No chance.
No, those guys.
So, it's going to be super cool when New England's got a top five pick next year and I'm having I'm going into cardiac arrest waiting for them to pick and then they trade back. It's going to be super fun. Super excited.
How do you feel about the Pro Bowl getting?
I love it.
Yeah, I think they should.
Oh, I love it. It's great. Yeah. The only thing anybody ever tuned into the Pro Bowl for was the skills event and watching guys play dodgeball and just goofy shit like that.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I miss the old Pro Bowl when they had quarterbacks stand at the goal line and see who could throw the ball the farthest. That stuff's funny. It's entertaining. I'm a big fan of that. Get rid of that stupid flag football touch. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's never been the same since Sean Taylor killed a punter.
Yeah. You know what they should bring back? Remember when MTV used to do like the celebrity softball games and stuff?
Yeah, they still do.
I haven't watched MTV in 30 years.
No. I want to say that they still do a softball game at the Pro Bowl. They just don't televise it. But it'll be on like, ESPN 8, The Ocho.
I feel like Aaron Donald hitting softballs would be the world's scariest thing.
Or Myles Garrett.
Miles Garrett ain't hitting anything but other cars at the moment.
Well, no, that was a one car accident, dude.
He was by himself.
He's not hitting anything but Mason Rudolph in the head with his own helmet.
Allegedly.
No, that happened.
Well, he did hit him, but I mean,
the allegedly part is what came out of Mason Rudolph's mouth.
That's right. You're right. Yeah. What did he call him again? I can't remember. Allegedly.
Nope. Not doing that.
Allegedly. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
And absolutely. This was fun.
Catch everybody next week.
Bang, bang. Bang, bang. 0-3 Raiders.
0-3.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.